What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. Congratulations on making it to the latter half of the week. You are amazing. I am amazing. Jackie's amazing. Bryce is amazing. Strice is amazing. Thrice is amazing. The whole gang is here. Happy Thursday. Hey, Jax. How you doing?
Happy Thursday. Wow, it's crazy how the tables have turned. And I used to how you darn you. And now, and you like actually really didn't like it. But then I capitalized on it and made it a movement. And it forced you to like it once we're selling merch.
I'm a capitalist at heart. And when something starts to yield revenue, I will be applying it to everyday life.
Right. And now how you darn is the new downturn because now you're doing it more than me.
Jackie, we need another list of things that you like started that I stole. The white Spanx pants.
I will
have. Hiya Dern.
Okay, no, there's
reading,
two different lists.
Downton Abbey.
There's two lists. One is things that like you just like made
were
your
against.
Own. What?
Were against.
Yes. No, that's the second thing. The second thing is like things you were so stubborn about and like honestly made fun of me for. And the other thing is just like things that you made your own that came from moi.
What's that?
White Spanx pants. You weren't against them.
No, but I guess I was against the culottes, so they could be on the same list.
Okay, things you were against. Downton Abbey, reading. Mm-hmm. How you darn.
Oh, and then, wait, once I was reading, Kindle.
Oh, right. I like a real book. Just the feel of the pages between my fingertips.
And then something that you started that I just, like, hopped on and stole. How you darn. Even though that's still very much yours.
No. That's on the other list. You were actually against how you turn.
Honestly, I cannot keep up with my inconsistencies, honestly. Like, that's why we need the list.
That's why we need the list. And you guys, drop a comment if you can remember something that Claudia was initially against. Oh, you were not into me recapping Succession.
Oh, I wasn't?
No, eyes were in the back of your head.
I'm the worst. If I was you, I would have quit like years ago. I sound miserable.
No, and the Succession one, like Downton Abbey, I used to recap and it took months for you to understand. Succession, it was like 3 days later you were watching it. And if only you could have just been 3 days ahead, we could have been watching it together.
Okay, well, at least my turnaround time is getting shorter. That means I'm improving.
It's true. Your turnaround time is getting shorter.
Turn around. So I was all ready this week to like kill it with my TV recaps, and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills wasn't even on last night.
So what's going on with Garcelle's son then?
So I know. I'll tell you. Okay. I'll say my opinion.
Actually, like, I haven't watched, and I was like, Claudia's going to explain it. I do think today's episode is going to be a lot of Claudia explains it all. The stories are very, you know, Claudia's
youthful.
World.
Youthful.
They're very youthful. There's no stories about the Titanic, unfortunately. But you know, if any new news comes out about the Titanic, you will hear it on the Morning Toast first. And that's a 100% promise that I can guarantee.
So with Garcelle, her son had posted on Instagram that he was like just getting harassed by these like fucking, you know, middle-aged Bravo fans. And he was like, leave me alone.
But what did he do on the show? When was
nothing.
He even
it
on it?
Nothing. It has nothing to do with the show.
Oh.
Just like general harassment.
Like in what sort of way? Like positive or negative?
We didn't see negative.
Okay. What is their beef with him?
Well, like, you know, just Garcelle's like a lightning rod and people are like taking it out on her son if they're like siding with Diana, you know? No, it's a mental illness. These people who are, imagine being that person watching a TV show and then messaging the son of someone you don't like.
That's insane. And we need to talk about toxic Bravo culture and toxic Bravo fans.
No, it's been really bad for a long time, but I feel like definitely in the last couple of years, it's reached a climax where people are so not okay. And it's very worrisome because Bravo fans are grown ass adults. This isn't Riverdale fans. Like, they're fucking, they're people with children. And they're acting like this on the internet. So Garcelle had then posted, like, leave my fucking kids alone. Like, seriously, I've had enough of you. And then Lisa Rinna posted, like, leave Garcelle's kids alone. And then Bravo had circulated this black and white graphic that they made. And it was reminding me of when they fired Stassi. Like, it was the same font.
No, it was so serious. And for Bravo to speak out on, like, fan fodder, which happens after every single episode, it has to have reached a level that they had to respond, which is insane.
Yeah. And then there is like a theory going around, and I haven't seen any proof to either support or unsupport this theory, but that the people messaging Garcelle's son were like hired bots by Diana. Like, it's being blamed on Diana, which is so crazy if true, but I haven't seen literally any proof that there is.
Crazy if true.
So I don't want to put that out there like as fact because I don't know anything about it. But that's like what the peeps online are saying.
Okay. Honestly, that would actually make more sense than these grown ass people.
No, I can see it. Bravo.
No. But they're mentally ill and they're like taken. They're so taken with what goes on Bravo. And it's like, it's a TV show.
No, it's so fucking crazy. And I just like, I love Garcelle, and any pain in Garcelle's home is a pain in my home.
Yeah, that's so messed up. I'm sure, like, that's the worst thing. And I had seen Garcelle's statement where it's like, you know, she could take whatever, like, don't take it out on her kids. And it's like,
you shouldn't even have to say that.
No, it's so wrong.
The Bravo fans are seriously not okay.
They haven't been okay for a while. If nothing else, like, I'm glad that Bravo is having, obviously, Garcelle's back, and perhaps we should be, you know, shedding light on this issue because the Bravo fans are not okay.
This is a conversation. And you know what? You know what needs to happen? Like, we need to see those messages and we need to find out who those people are. I'm not saying we dox them and post their address, but if you're going to do something that insane, like, stand by it. I want to know your name, and we all should know your name and perhaps what you do for a living.
No, but that's...
that's doxing. No, but, like, it should be embarrassing for them. Like, just post a picture of them and maybe their family, you know?
No, that's doxing. These are the...
Oh, shit.
That's
sorry,
literally right, what right. They're doing to no, Garcelle.
Like, I'm sure their family members don't know that they're out harassing minors because of something their mom did on a TV show. And maybe if they did, like, it would embarrass those people to a point where they realize that it's not okay behavior. Do you know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, but two wrongs don't make a right, girl.
No, of course not. But if I was ever doing something so crazy, I obviously, like, wouldn't tell you about it. And then if somebody told you, like, I would die. Like, right. That's a way to really, it's like calling their mom, you know?
Yeah.
But no, you're right. I didn't realize. You're totally right. That's doxing and not okay. But still, say their name. Like, I'm curious.
Yeah. I do like when people, like, get a lot of hate from a certain person and they just, like, post a screenshot.
My favorite thing in the world is when people do that. The anonymity, like, no. Why am I going to protect that?
But one of my least favorite things is, like, when people kind of, like, not... they kind of, like, exaggerate the hate that they get. And they, like, one person says something, like, remotely, like, not supportive, you know, maybe a little critical on blast.
I agree with that. Like, when I have blasted people, but that's when they're, like, actually, like, using the K word.
Nuts.
Fat,
and it's, like, there's multiple messages where it's, like, this person is unwell and it's time to expose them.
For years, they've been doing this.
Yeah, but there is a line because sometimes people just sort of, like, manufacture all the hate that they get. It's like, they just didn't like your outfit. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Or like if they're, like, I would never personally blast someone who was like even though that's exactly what I'm going to do today for a story that we have. Actually, let me pull up my screenshot. I woke up this morning and I chose to be petty.
Oh, I love that for you. Anyways, just like most things, there's a really fine line where it's like, this is good until it's not.
Until it ain't. Maybe it was on the day.
These things are
yesterday.
So nuanced. All these discussions we're having this morning.
This is like a scholarly academic podcast.
It is, because it's making me question, where is that line?
Where is
it? How many messages do you have to get from someone with how many slurs until you can expose them?
Oh, also, not to be like annoying secret project girly, but yesterday, Ben and Josh recorded their second podcast episode, which comes out on Mondays. Josh Peck and my husband Ben just launched a new podcast on TNN called Good Guys. And they had a guest. And, like, leave it to them on their second episode to book, like, the most premium A-list guest of all time. I joined, like, the interface that we use. I joined on the back end. You can, like, join backstage and just listen and not be heard because I was, like, so wanting to hear what this person was saying. It comes out on Monday, and I just want everyone to know, like, get excited.
Yeah, get excited. That's all I'm saying. I know the secret, and I'm excited for all of you.
I need, like, 45 seconds to find what I need to find. So if you want to talk to everyone about, like, maybe tell them what you're reading.
Oh my God. Thank you for prompting me, because I'm reading Before We Were Yours by Lisa Wingate. As I stated yesterday, like, I finally got into it. I would say up until 15%, it was like, it took me 5 days to even get that far. But now, like, I could not put it down last night. I'm at 50%. I stayed up way later than I should have, and I should have been getting some sleep. But I just, like, I need answers, and every other chapter goes back and forth in time. And
oh, I kind of hate that.
No. It's really perfect, because the one that goes back in time is the better story. But it's a lot to digest. And so you need to break it up with the one that goes forward in time. But then, like, I also needed answers, but I couldn't read another two chapters before bed last night. So hopefully I will finish it today. But I really, reading this book is like, one, I haven't read a book this good in so long. It's reminding me of, like, when I read all the great books, you know, Where the Crawdads Sing, Evelyn Hugo, etc. And it's a book that really needs to be read in a day or two, because I need answers. I can't be spreading this out. And it's like, it's weighing on me. Like, what's happening to the Foss children?
Yeah, no, I'm experiencing the same thing, but kind of like the polar opposite, because I'm loving this book so much. Like, I cannot read it because it'll be over.
That happens too. But this is just, I need.
Have you read Love in Other Words by Christina Loren?
No.
It's giving Every Summer After. It's so cute. Like, I actually, like, almost, like, cried last night. Like, this moment was just, like, so cute. Like, this nerdy little boy when he was 13. Like, it was so cute. Loving it. Like, obsessed.
Oh, great. Well, Christina Loren, they're a writing duo. And they write so many of the books, so many books that, like, we would like and read, and you and Snitch. But for some, like, very coho. But for some reason, like, we don't read as many of their books. We read one for the Redheads. It was called Twice in a Blue Moon. It was cute.
Was it good?
It was cute. I like the beat, but people love Christina Loren. I feel like after this, you should go down to Christina Loren.
Oh, I'm on
hole.
My way.
Like, because there's on my way. There's so many books, and everybody loves all of them.
I found the screenshot I was looking for, and it's evidentiary support for a story we have about Bethany and the Kardashians.
Okay, can't wait.
Evidentiary support.
I love evidentiary support, and I'm looking forward to talking about that story because.
Oh my God, I have so many thoughts.
Talk about nuance, huh?
Talk about hypocrisy. Okay.
Okay.
We'll get into it.
I think without further ado, we should get into it. The Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you, bless my heart. I really made it, you know, is brought to you by McDonald's. Here at the Morning Toast, it's no secret that we are obsessed with McDonald's. After a day of recording our award-winning podcast, or, you know, doing anything else, is there anything better than a McDonald's Fountain Diet Coke, a large crispy French fry, and their iconic chicken sandwich? And here's the important question. What is the best McDonald's crispy chicken sandwich? The standard, the spicy, the deluxe? Well, it's more personal than comedy. For me, it's the standard, no lettuce, no nothing, just ketchup. But some people might like extra pickles. It's so personal, it's so customizable, and they have three different types of sandwiches. It's really heaven, whether you're gonna get the spicy pepper sauce, extra crinkle cut pickles. Oh man, I'm getting so hungry thinking about this.
Yeah, me too. My mouth is watering for a bespoke sandwich from McDonald's.
A bespoke sandwich, and then washing it down with a large, bubbly, crispy, cold. Oh my God, I'm so hungry. That Diet Coke sounds so good. The McDonald's crispy chicken sandwich, you can order it ahead on the McDonald's app. Try the sandwich that invented crispy, juicy, tender today. At participating McDonald's, the app download and registration is required. And just, like, don't be dumb. That's really kind of the message today. McDonald's, don't be dumb.
McDonald's, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, don't be dumb.
Stunning. Today's episode is also brought to you by Kitsch. They say that hair care is a new skincare, but there's one brand that has taken it to the next level. With a cult-like following, Kitsch has created game-changing essentials that beauty enthusiasts swear by. From satin pillowcases to time-saving towels, Kitsch knows hair care doesn't stop in the shower. I just have to say, so I have a ton of Kitsch products, like the satin pillowcase, and I love their products, but when I was in Florida at your house, I went to CVS to get, like, just things to live. And I bought a claw clip because I've been really into claw clips. But my hair is so thick and so long.
Oh, how hard for you.
I can't just buy a claw clip. And CVS had this huge monstrous one. And I bought it and I was like obsessed with it. And I ripped the tag off and it was from Kitsch.
We love to see toe sponsors doing fantastic things out in the world.
You love to see toe sponsors winning. Mm-hmm. So they have great claw clips. They also have shampoo and conditioner bars that are bottle-free beauty. They work super well. It makes a lot of sense, actually, and it's so much less waste. They have the heatless satin curling rollers, no more heat damage, and you can literally throw away, like, your expensive curling irons. They also have quick dry hair towels. So I hold a lot of moisture in my hair, and I like to have a specific towel for drying my hair. And the Kitsch one is really, really good. And their classic hair ties and scrunchies, which are also just fabulous. Good elasticity. Good stuff. Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/toast. That's right. 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch, mykitsch.com/toast. That's mykitsch.com/toast for 30% off your order.
Thank you, Claudia. Okay, now for the stories. Our first story, Vanessa Bryant has been awarded $16 million after a jury reached a verdict in the trial over the helicopter crash site photos. So Vanessa Bryant and her co-plaintiff, Chris Chester, have been awarded a combined $31 million by an LA jury. The final verdict was reached late Wednesday afternoon with the jury finding that the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department and the Fire Department did share photos of the bodies of Brian and Chris's loved ones, and in doing so invaded their privacy and caused emotional distress. The jury ordered the LASD to pay Vanessa $10 million and to pay Chris a total of $9 million, while the LAFD is ordered to pay the pair $6 million each.
Good. Literally good.
Yeah.
I feel like we knew the outcome of this case before it even started. Like, it was a clear violation of whatever policy. Obviously, a violation of ethics, but also a violation of police policy. Mm-hmm. So we knew that she was going to win. And I'm happy for her. Obviously, like, in a situation like this, you know, money really doesn't mean much when you've lost so much. So yeah, there's that, but it feels good to have, like, justice be served.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, sets a good precedent and perhaps will stop this from happening, unfortunately, to the next person.
I didn't even know we needed to set a precedent for this because it's so absurd.
And I also didn't realize until I was reading recently, like, the gory nature of the photos.
Of the way that they died, it had to have been extremely graphic.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, like, I can only imagine. It's so fucked up. It's so, like, defies common decency, let alone police policy and law. And the fact that anyone would do this is so fucking moronic, honestly. And it just, like, made the whole grieving process, I'm sure, that much more difficult.
Yeah.
Because he passed away 2 years ago and they've been on this lawsuit ever since. So while trying to grieve and move on with your life, you have to go back to meetings with your lawyer and all this stuff and relive it.
Yeah. And go to court.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And trial. It's horrible. I'm glad that
it's like emotional abuse.
It's concluded and that the jury found favor with the victims.
Same. And just, like, always wishing Vanessa Bryant, like, endless peace.
Endless peace.
Literally terrible.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay, our next story, a little sinking ship news. Sylvester Stallone's wife, Jennifer Flavin, filed for divorce after 25 years yesterday.
Add him to the list.
So Sylvester Stallone's wife has filed for divorce. Page Six can confirm the former model filed paperwork to dissolve her 25-year marriage to Rocky in Palm Beach County, Florida, on August 19th. Court documents obtained by Page Six state the marriage is irretrievably broken and note that Jennifer is requesting assets accumulated during the union to be equitably distributed between them.
Ooh.
Also, so there's a few other factoids about, or, you know, alleged factoids about this story, because a few days ago, it was shown that he was getting a tattoo on his arm that was, like, covering up his wife's face with a tattoo of a dog. And then also yesterday...
Ooh, that's just mean.
And also yesterday, there were reports that they were divorcing over this dog. Rocky has since said that was untrue, but they did have disagreements in how to, like, raise the dog or whatever.
This is how you know famous people like don't have real problems.
No, but also sometimes it's like you're having so many issues with someone and it's like whatever the last straw is, I actually think it might have been the dog. So he's denying claims that his marriage ended because of his dog. On Wednesday, it was reported that she filed for divorce because they fought over a new Rottweiler named Dwight. The argument over the dog, Jennifer didn't want another pet while Sylvester wanted the dog for protection, supposedly led to an extremely heated argument that brought up other issues. But he told TMZ, quote, "We did not end the relationship on such a trivial argument," although he did concede that the couple disagreed over how to care for the dog, given that they often travel and live in two homes.
What?
I actually do think not that the dog is what broke them up, but like that
but
was
it's a part of
that
it.
Was the last disagreement they could handle.
That is like funny. And it also makes me think, like, you know, thank God Adele bought the house from Rocky, because that would have been another asset that they would have to like go back and forth on who gets. But now they just split the money.
Adele bought the house from Rocky. I didn't know where you were going with thank God Adele.
Yeah, well, now like Adele's $60 million in mortgage and down payment is going to be split 50-50 between Jennifer and Rocky.
Wow. I love when things circle back to previous Toast news.
100%.
So that's crazy. I mean, 25 years in Hollywood is as
it's a success.
It's as successful as it gets, especially for someone like Rocky, you know?
Right.
Because he's up there.
What about Rocky and Khloe Kardashian?
Oh, let me get the list out. What about, I got it, Rocky and Sherry Ray?
Obsessed. Obsessed.
Hold on. Let me get the list.
Yeah, because we need more age-appropriate people on that list. Yeah, we're obviously covering a lot of young Hollywood.
I've broken out the list by age. See, Sherry Ray was Sherry Ray was down here on her own.
Right.
Rocky. And perhaps Jennifer and Shaq.
Who's Jennifer?
The ex-wife.
Oh. Yeah, what does she do? She's like a model? What is she?
Supermodel. Former supermodel.
How nice for her.
Yeah.
Well, Rocky, I am not available, but if you want to give me half, I can get divorced, marry you, get divorced, and then get married again.
Have you ever seen Rocky?
The movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why do I keep calling him Rocky? It literally did not compute for me because I kept almost saying The Rock. I'm like, oh, I never realized there's a celebrity named The Rock and a celebrity named Rocky. But no, that was just his name in the movie,
Yeah, but it's like
Sylvester.
His name is Sylvester, but I think he goes by Rocky too at this point.
No, I think he goes by Sly.
Yeah, but everyone calls him Rocky, you know, all of his friends.
Oh my God. I just had like a brain awakening. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, oh my, wait, your name is not Rocky. No, I've never seen any of those movies.
No, me neither.
Have you?
No. I feel like we're going to get so much crap.
Really? I don't think so. Like, sorry we're so young that movie was just, like, before our time. Like, we're teenagers. Like,
also, we're just so...
We're tiny.
We're so feminine that, like...
And, like, frail.
What's boxing?
Oh, is that, like a sport? Like, football? We're so feminine.
We're the most feminine.
So feminine.
Are you ready for our next story that you're going to have to explain to me?
Yes.
TikTok star Gabby Hanna. The cops were called for her welfare check after a string of bizarre posts.
Okay, don't even read it. I'll tell you.
Okay.
This was all happening like live on TikTok over the last couple of days. Okay. Like yesterday day before.
Who's Gabby Hanna?
Great question.
Thank you.
She is like one of like, I think, older generation YouTuber. Like, I think... I've personally never engaged with her content. I only know her like from her scandals, but she was like friendly with Trisha Paytas. Like she's in that OG crew, but she kind of had like a renaissance on TikTok. She has like 7 million followers on TikTok, but mostly because people just like drag her endlessly. Like they make fun of everything she does, her music, her content, her art. Like she gets trolled professionally, for real. And she's been vocal about struggling with mental health. So that's the background.
Okay. I'm listening. I'm following.
Yesterday and the day before, she had posted hundreds of TikToks, like hundreds, in her house. And it's very clear that she's having some sort of manic episode. she's going on and on about how she solved the puzzle and Jesus and there's blood on the carpet and like just very clearly someone going through like some sort of psychosis, like a mental breakdown. And it's all happening in real time. And people are commenting like, oh my God, you know, where are your friends and family? Someone needs to call the police. Like, she's not okay. She needs help. And it escalated when a fan of hers who lives nearby and knows where she lives decided to go over to her house while she's in the middle of this manic episode. And she's like live streaming the whole thing. So he's making TikToks that he's going to go over there. And he goes over there and Gabby's TikToks start including this man. And this man had told her that he didn't know who she was, but like wanted to hang out. And she's in the throes of this manic episode. So she's like, great. So they're running around the house, drinking water, like laughing, giggling, making videos. And he's like lurking in the background of all these videos, looking like such a fucking freak, scary stalker man. And all the comments are like, Gabby, get this man out of your house. He's like just walking behind her in all these videos, looking so creepy. And everyone was like, I do not have a good feeling about this. I do not have a good feeling about this. Then the last video she posted with him, she's screaming at him. She's like, you lied to me. You know who I am. Get the fuck out of my house. And he picks up like a bottle of pills and is like, Gabby, please take these pills. And she's like, that's for my, it was like something like innocuous, like my TMJ or something. Like, she's like, those are pills for my like headaches or whatever. Get the fuck out of my fucking house, you fucking C-U-N-T. She said that word. She's screaming at him and then the video ends because these are only like 10 second TikToks. Then I guess he leaves because this guy is now clout chasing around town, live streaming. Last night I checked, he had 30,000 TikTok followers. He was making videos answering people. People are like, you literally took advantage of a vulnerable person. You're a freak and you did nothing to help. Like, you know where she lives. Call the police. Call for help. Call her fair. Like, do something. And he's like fighting for his life on TikTok, like thinking he was going to, you know, become a star. And now he's just a fucking freak who took advantage of someone who clearly is struggling with mental illness. So then Gabby goes on. She's figured out, you know, the bushes in her yard that grow berries are the key to the puzzle. Like, it's very, you know, sort of manic behavior. The final video she has posted and has not posted since last night was her. She's holding the camera into her mirror. So you see her and she's literally whispering like, there's someone in my house. Please pray for me. Like, she's crying. And then we haven't heard from her again. Then this report that TMZ just released was that the police were called to her house, and that's probably why we haven't heard from her. Now, there's a lot of conversation online about whether this is staged, which is so fucked up, like, for people to think, and so fucked up if it is, because she's kind of known for, like, troll behavior. But, I mean, you know, Viola Davis couldn't act it so well. It was so real. Gabby Hadid is not an actress. It was so obvious that that was not staged, and the element of the fan was just so fucking weird.
Yeah.
And now people are really worried about her because we haven't heard what's going on, and we're obviously not going to hear from her if the police were called to her house. She's probably, hopefully, getting treatment.
Yeah. So LAPD sources told TMZ that the videos led to an influx of calls from people worried about her well-being.
Oh, good.
And asking for officers to go and check on her. TMZ is told that Gabby greeted officers at her door and chatted for a few minutes before officers called for a psychological evaluation team. Medical professionals had a long chat with Gabby and determined she didn't pose a threat to herself or anyone else, so they allowed her to remain in her home. They're told Gabby was also given resources for the next time she may become upset.
Oh, so she's at her house?
Yeah, they didn't seem to find it an issue. Like a grave issue.
Right. Well, I don't know what her relationship is with like family or friends, but she needs like support.
Yeah, does she have, I mean, I'm sure she has friends or family, hopefully, that aren't, you know, in the famous.
Public
but
eye.
Does she have influencer friends that she's like actually close with? Do you know?
Like, no. I think what she really, at least what I know her for, was her friendship with Trisha Paytas that then ended like very dramatically and very publicly.
Oh, how did what happened there?
I don't know. Like, they just, it was a lot. I think a part of it had to do with the Frenemies podcast.
It always comes back to the Frenemies podcast.
The Frenemies podcast was a cultural shift.
Really?
It really was. At least a digital culture shift.
Oh, yeah. The Frenemies podcast. But do they still do Frenemies?
No, remember they broke up.
Right, but I didn't know if Ethan Mark, was doing Frenemies but by himself.
So Ethan had his own podcast before called H3.
That I know.
And it's like a TNN. They have a lot of different shows, and Frenemies was one of them. Frenemies doesn't exist anymore, but he has tons of other shows.
Okay, yeah, because I see H3 a lot.
Yeah, in the podcast store. I think they're chart toppers.
They're chart toppers for sure.
So that's really my extent of Gabby Hanna. My extent of knowledge before this situation of Gabby Hanna is very limited. I had just heard of her, and honestly, like what the internet makes you think of her is like she's crazy. Like a couple, maybe like a year ago, this audio went viral on TikTok, and it turned out that it was from her. She was on a podcast where it was honestly like so something I would do. She's like talking, and then immediately goes into song. It's one of her songs. And what, like, the message she was trying to convey through, like, the point she was making on the podcast was, like, the exact message she had once written in one of her songs. So she just started singing the lyrics. And I felt that.
Yeah, I feel that. Overall, though, this story is extremely disturbing.
So sad.
As a layperson, just hearing, like, not having watched the videos, not knowing her, not mm-hmm. knowing whether this is real or stage. I think it's real.
I think it is too. I mean, I know people do like crazy shit on the internet for attention, but I refuse to believe that this is fraudulent.
Okay, well, hopefully she's okay.
Hopefully she's okay. And hopefully she has like good people around her.
Yeah.
But if you watch the videos, like they're chilling, you know? And I think people who have either had episodes like that themselves or close people to them in their life who have had episodes like that, like it was very, it was real. Like the stuff that she was saying is exactly how one slips into an episode like that. You know, figuring out the puzzles is like a very common theme when you're going through psychosis. Like, you know, thinking there are people after you. And I don't even think there really probably was someone in her house, but that's what you think of when you're going through that, like paranoia.
Yeah.
So I think it was totally real, and it's very sad.
Very sad. Okay. Well, hopefully she's doing okay, and we'll find out.
An update. But hopefully she takes like some time. Honestly, if we don't hear from her for a while, I think that would be good. Like, I think the internet and the amount of hate that she incessantly gets, I think it had a lot to do with what probably led her to this point.
Yeah. Okay, well, are you ready for our next story?
If it's a story that's brought to you by Clinique.
Yes.
If you have dark spots, it can often feel like a vicious cycle. As soon as one fades, another one pops up. Break the cycle with the Clinique Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter. This powerful serum works on melanin-rich to fair skin, and it helps physically correct dark spots, such as acne scars, while protecting from discoloration. So I get really bad dark spots, especially in the sun, and it's so annoying because they're very difficult to get rid of, and then once you do, like, there's one right next to it. Like a new neighbor pops up, comes to its funeral. It's so annoying. And I really trust Clinique as a brand, and their Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter is proven to work. So at 94% of people demonstrated an improvement in radiance and visible skin tone, including acne marks, in just 8 weeks. You can see a 39% visible reduction in dark spots in 12 weeks. Also, their Damage Eraser Brightening Complex is more concentrated with boosted technology to deliver dramatic brightening results, but it's gentle enough for all skin types. So they have really like a wide range of products that are really good for your skin. I feel like Clinique is a brand that's been around for a long time. It's totally a brand that you can trust. And their products are meant to help all types of skin tones, complexions. So that's melanin-rich skin to fair skin. They'll visibly improve uneven skin tone, interrupt the look of future dark spots. And that's the Even Better Clinical Serum Foundation from Clinique and the Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter. So you use the interrupter in your skincare, and then the foundation is like, I hate when your skin is like doing well and then you have to put on a lot of makeup and it's just undoing all of the work that you just did. But the Clinique foundation is fabulous. First of all, their coverage is like so glowy. It's really nice, but it also, it has skincare inside of it. So it's not going to undo all the work that you've been doing at night, you know, taking care of your skin. So you can get the Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter today. It's available at Clinique.com. Clinique is CLINIQUE.com.
Great. Thank you. Our next story. Bethany Frankel is alleging that TikTok has shadow banned her after slamming the Kardashians.
victim mentality.
Okay. Bethany Frankel claims she's been shadow banned on TikTok following comments about the Kardashians and celebrity brands. The Real Housewives of New York City alum spoke out against the reality TV family on Just Be with Bethany Frankel. She said, quote, "We need a Kardashian intermission," admitting she was not sure if she should continue commenting on the family. She said, quote, "And I've honestly been afraid to say it. It's not because Chris is the mafia and controls a lot of the media, because I don't give a fuck. Cancel me." She said, "What are we saying to our kids? What is the message? Take it all, be as rich as possible, filter as much as possible, be as fake as much as possible, brag as much as possible." I feel like I'm sounding like her when I'm reading this.
Yeah.
"Get plastic surgery and lie about it as much as possible. What the fuck are we doing? Then do a charity donation to like rinse it over as much as possible."
They've literally never once done that, by the way.
Yeah.
Just donate it to a charity when someone gives them critique.
Then after this rant, which her rant like did go semi-viral, I saw it on Reels. It got a lot of steam, positive people agreeing with her, obviously people disagreeing with her. It's not necessarily a hot take to come for the Kardashians.
No, I hate when she's like, "I've been wanting to say this."
No, but, I did find that what she's saying about them is new-ish, because a lot of times it's not like obviously completely a new idea, but like people come for them for a lot of different reasons. But this idea that, what example do we set for our kids by being obsessed with them, like just to take as much as possible and to get a plastic surgery and to lie about it, like
I want to say something.
It wasn't like your typical like, "They're stupid."
Yeah. Okay. I want to say something. Let's talk about what she said first, and then we'll talk about everything that happened afterwards.
Okay.
I had such a problem with her take on the Kardashians. Let me tell you why. The first thing is her whole message was like, you know, "What are we teaching our children?" And it's like, we aren't teaching your child anything. She's your child. Like, you're teaching Brand. I hate that thing. Like, well, they're not a good role model. What are we teaching our children? Like, what are you? You are responsible for what you teach your children, not fucking me. And I'm not going to act a certain way so that some random person's child can learn something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not the Kardashians' responsibility to take care of Bryn Hoppy.
Right. But I also think, so many things about this.
My bigger point.
I'm obsessed with the Kardashians, but hearing like her opinion about this, like, it doesn't really bother me. I don't really agree with her, but I can see where she's coming from.
I can't. If you're going to critique the Kardashians for everything they could be teaching young people, you then have to be a perfect person who's never taught a young person anything poor. And one could argue Bethany's contribution to toxic diet culture with her $200 million brand called Skinny Girl, glorifying being thin. You know, she's not a perfect person either. And what does that teach my child, Bethany? That in order to be cool, I have to be skinny? I think that, I don't know, I know Bethany controls the media and she's the mafia, but I'm going to say that. Don't cancel me.
Okay, don't cancel her.
I'm sorry, if you're going to be a public person out here critiquing other perfect people, Lily Reinhart, you then have to be a perfect person who's never, ever, whose image isn't completely untainted. And you know what? Lily Reinhart's image is pretty untainted, so she might have more of a leg to stand on than Bethany. Like, I think we can all, and I love Bethany, especially on Housewives, but I can hand you a laundry list of things that she has done that are not perfect and that her image could potentially be teaching young people poor things.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I guess so. I just think that she's not wrong in some of the stuff that she's saying, but I also think like they do set a good example in a lot of other ways. Like, take as much as you want. They're the most wealthy. First of all, I think our obsession with the Kardashians as a society says more about us than it does about them. Like, mm-hmm. if they were so terrible, then we wouldn't be so obsessed. But mm-hmm. I also think in a lot of ways they set a really great example. Like, the fact that they are so successful, like, couldn't be bigger, couldn't be
female
more rich,
moguls,
famous.
Family and oriented.
Yet they're still this rock solid family. Like, I mm-hmm. think that their emphasis on family is one of the best messages that we can be sending to young children. It's
agreed.
Like, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, like, it always comes back to your family. Like, I think family is the bedrock of, like,
of them.
And also just like, at least for me, like a happy, fulfilling life.
Yes, and that's not the case for everyone, obviously.
No, it's not the case for everyone, but I think putting the fact that they put such an emphasis on family is a huge check in their column. And so yeah. She wants to only talk about the negatives. But yeah, no, I'm not going to lie. That the fact that they get plastic surgery and then like lie about it and not tell us about it. Like that is, that's not a great example. Cause I think everyone should get plastic surgery if they want it. But like,
I just
this whole thing of like,
it doesn't bother me. I can't explain it. Like, yes, they're public figures, but if somebody wants to go do something with their body, they literally don't owe us anything. No, like they don't owe us an explanation. And if they want to lie, honestly, and this goes for anyone, like if you want to lie, like, okay, I would probably lie too. Like if I needed a nose job, I would totally get one. And if I was like embarrassed of it, even though I wouldn't be because I would like love to like exploit myself online and I didn't want to share it, like I would fucking lie about it. I would. Like some things can be fucking personal, even if you're a completely public person. I don't agree with this. Like, in order to be a good celebrity, you have to tell us everything you've ever done to your body. Like, fuck off.
No, I don't think it's everything you've ever done to your body. But, like, it's really up until when Kim did that recent interview, we still thought she was allergic to Botox, yet she looks younger than ever.
No, I knew she wasn't. I knew.
No, like, I know, but it's, like, I hear, like, I don't know. I just
don't know why like things, everything with them has to make sense. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, nobody's holding everyone. And there's so many other, because people don't care about those other people. Because people deeply care about the Kardashians because we love them. They're awesome.
It's just like this obsession with making sure everything the Kardashians do in their lives, launch in their business, has to be 100% consistent with everything they've ever done and everything they've ever said is, first of all, no way to live. First of all, normalize changing your mind. And second of all, like, we literally don't even do that to anyone else.
I agree with that.
The obsession with, like, calling them out, like, gotcha, is so fucking annoying, and I don't subscribe to that at all. And this obsession with other celebrities doing it to them, Bethany, Lily Reinhart, like, that bothers me. Like, why is nobody calling out, like, the biggest man? Yeah. I could give me 5 minutes. I'll find a big-ass inconsistency.
Because nobody cares.
Someone. A man. George Clooney.
Because nobody cares about them. Really.
It's so annoying. It really bothers me. And that's why, yes, I'm a Kardashian apologist. But a lot of the time, like, I don't want to even entertain what someone has to say about the Kardashians, even if it's legitimate, because it's not coming from a good place. Oh, and this was my evidentiary support. Ready?
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, Claude.
So 2 days ago or yesterday on the toast, we were talking about how Andrew Garfield is doing like a 6-month fast or whatever to lose all this weight, get in shape for a role. And there's not even a semblance of backlash. But Kim did the same thing. She's not an actress, but a role she played was Marilyn at the Met Gala. She did something similar and got roasted. And so, like, where's the backlash on Andrew Garfield?
Yeah.
So this person wrote this comment, and it's a public platform, so it's on YouTube. Like, it's public. I'm going to say his name, okay?
You're going to say the person who comment on our video?
Yeah. No, okay, maybe I won't. I mean, people are going to find it. Andrew Garfield fasted on and off for 6 months. Kim K did a crash diet for 6 weeks to fit her nasty fat ass in the dress she ripped anyway. Not the same thing. So this is a person who thinks that Kim is contributing to toxic diet culture, but he's going around on the internet calling women nasty and fat. See, that's what I'm saying. Might this have been a legitimate critique? Yes. You obviously aren't coming from a good place. You don't care about diet culture. You're calling a random woman you've never met fat.
I don't even think that's a good critique because he fasted on and off.
No, but I'm saying, like, if he wanted to have, like, an actual argument and make a point, like, I could see. But that's the thing.
So when Andrew Garfield fasts on and off, it's fasting. When Kim goes on a diet, it's a crash diet. How come Garfield's not? No,
his point, which might have been legitimate, was that it's 6 weeks versus 6 months. Like, what makes Kim's version of it toxic is that it was so fast, a crash
diet. Who is this guy to say that at 6 weeks it's too soon and at 6 months it's good?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, the irony of this post, like,
yeah,
wanting
no,
to come
saying
for Kim and her toxic diet culture and setting an unrealistic beauty standard when you're literally calling her a nasty fat ass.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
The critique of the Kardashians to me, whether it's legitimate ever, never comes from an honest or true place.
It's just, I need to see your critique of dozens of other celebrities. And then, you know, if the Kardashians are involved in that, sure, because they are amongst the biggest. But I need to see your critique of everyone first, not just them.
So it just bothers me. Like, even when people make legitimate points, I just don't think they're coming from an honest or real or authentic place. So with Bethany, while I don't even agree with what she said, like, I hate that whole thing of, like, why is it everyone else's responsibility to teach your child things? You know, like, we're all responsible for our own dependents, you know?
Yeah, and there are so many celebrities out there, so many role models. Like, if you don't like how what these people are showing your kids, then pivot. There's other people who might be saying exactly what you want to hear.
The world is a big place, and one of the consequences of living in this world is growing up, going outside, and seeing things that either offend you, that either contradict what you believe, that are different. So this expectation that every celebrity should be the values that you want to teach your child is so fucking stupid, and it's not their responsibility. It's just not. Like, it's not. So I didn't like what she said, but I empower women to say what they want, especially on podcasts.
Yeah. But
then what I really had
hot take, so it didn't bother me. You know how I disagree and how I love them.
Of course.
And how they are what I think. I think they're great role models.
Oh my God, can't shove my children in front of a television fast enough to Hulu Kardashians, okay?
Totally.
My children will be breastfed.
Aspire to that plane.
My children will be breastfed from the milk of Kim Kardashian, okay? I'll figure out a way.
She should bottle it and sell it. You'll give it to your kids.
100%.
Yeah.
But then what really started to bother me, I wasn't bothered about this story, I was just like, whatever, was Bethany's like victim mentality content coming out afterwards. Like, you know, I believe that if you have something to say and it's not unpopular, like, you should say it, and no matter like the risk, like, you should say it. And I actually agree with that. Like, if you really feel a certain way and people are, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's right, and just because it's right doesn't mean it's popular. I agree.
Often it's quite the opposite.
But then she like went on this like victim rant about how like she's being silenced and, you know, people are not going to want to associate with her. And I was like, first of all, not that many people listen to your podcast, so just calm down. And second of all, like, what are you talking about? Literally, okay, so you think you're the first person to ever critique the Kardashians?
So she thinks she's been shadow banned because of this rant. Her views, if you look at her TikTok, like, I do think she's been shadow banned, but I don't know what it's from.
Let me look. Because I know that Bethany is popular on TikTok for her makeup reviews.
Yeah.
She's like, be real, you know, I'm not going to tell you what's good because it's expensive. I'm not being paid to. This shit from the drugstore rocks. This trash from Armani sucks. Like, that's why people really like her. And that's how she's grown a following. And it's been really smart. And I keep waiting. She's going to announce Skinny Girl Cosmetics like any minute now. Mm. So I mean, her views seem like pretty good. See, that's the thing with TikTok. Like, you're always, one video is a million and the other is 50,000. Unless you're like Addison Rae with like a crazy fan base, there's so much inconsistency. Some of like the biggest TikTokers you go and watch, there's like a difference of millions.
Yeah, I want to just look
but
at
no,
her
it's
reels.
Definitely gone down a little bit.
What's a little bit?
Like, I don't know, views are so inconsistent. I would say before she's averaging about like like 250K.
Mm-hmm.
And her last couple videos are like 100, between 100 and 150. Maybe the content just sucks. Like,
so you don't think she's shadow banned?
Well, the thing is, I always think I'm shadow banned on TikTok. And I'm pretty sure I am. Like, I'm 100% sure. But what I have to realize sometimes is like, just nobody cares. And my content's not good. Like, it could be that.
Okay.
What do you think? Kris Jenner?
No, that's not what I think.
TikTok.
I think she's probably shadow banned for an unrelated reason, and she just thinks it's because of this extremely hot take.
And I just like hate, I always hate that. Like, Kardashians control the media, so like you can't speak out. That's not how it is at all.
Not at all. I mean, everybody talks crap about them.
And no offense, like, do you think the Kardashians like really care what Bethany said, so much so that they're gonna have her silenced?
Not at all.
So like, this, the thing that bothered me, the rant didn't even bother me, I just disagreed with it. The aftermath of her being like such a victim really was like, oh my God, calm down.
Yeah.
Like, the way she was talking on her Instagram story about how she needs to be brave and say things that people are afraid to say, she was acting like Edward Snowden. Like, it was so, or is that the one who like did treason?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he had to do it.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It was given Julian Assange, you know?
Yeah, and she's really not saying anything like that
crazy
new to criticize the Kardashians. Like, is you know, the oldest story in the book.
Yeah, like, calm down.
Yeah, but she did it with extra fervor. And because she is Bethany and she is a really great debater, like, she came at it.
Yes.
full force, you know?
Oh, and it's worth mentioning that some of the content about the Kardashians that goes viral most on TikTok is negative. Calling out the Stormy Photoshop. All that shit starts on TikTok. So I have a hard time believing that that's why.
Got it. Okay. Well, nice spirited debate. We love that. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Only if it's the story that's brought to you by a company that is saving brands left, right, and center, including the Morning Toast. Do you have any idea what it is?
Yeah, I do. Kienva Pro?
Yes, Kienva Pro. Honestly, as always with these ads, I don't really feel the need to explain to you like why you're dumb for not being on Canva Pro. Nevertheless, I will. Creating visual content is an essential part of what we do. If you follow us on Instagram or on YouTube, we always need graphics, thumbnails, social assets. And neither Jackie nor I are like truly trained graphic designers. And Ben introduced me to Canva years ago. Now I am a happy Canva Pro subscriber and customer. It's super easy to collaborate with your design team, anyone else on your team when you use Canva for Teams. It makes the whole process so much more creative and fun. So Canva for Teams is a design platform that makes it easy for anyone to create stunning content in any format, from social media, presentations, websites, the endless templates and premium fonts, photos, graphics, and videos add personality and edge to our team's content. With features designed for brand consistency, Canva for Teams make it easy to maintain your aesthetic and add your logos, fonts, and brand colors to anything you create. Canva for Teams streamlines how we do social media. We can plan, create, and share social media content directly to all of our channels in one place, and you can even schedule posts ahead of time. They have a video editor that is so easy to use with tons of filters, animations, and transitions that will bring your group's content to life. So whatever kind of business you run, I think it's really important that you have like really engaging, fun, and consistent content on your social media. And Canva's great for that. No one's going to know that you're an amateur. It looks so experienced, and it really is great for keeping your brand colors, your brand logos, your brand vibe in mind, and it doesn't look chaotic. You can collaborate with Canva for Teams. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you go to canva.me/toast. That's canva.me/toast for a free 45-day extended trial. canva.me/toast.
Great. Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Fifth and final story, Barbie Ferreira is leaving Euphoria after rumored Sam Levinson feud.
Okay, wait, really quick. I sent you the story and I guess it didn't make the cut. That's totally fine. But Olivia Rodrigo was brought out at Billy Joel last night.
It didn't make the cut.
Oh my God, that's so funny because I'm obsessed with it. Like, I bet that she knows Billy Joel because you played her uptown, girl. Like, Billy Joel being relevant, everything to me, like in the world. This man deserves the world. They sang Deja Vu. There's videos of it online. And then she performed Uptown Girl with him. And it was just like iconic. And I didn't see like a pop culture relevant moment for Billy Joel this year. Like I just didn't see that.
Yeah.
And I guess we don't need to talk about it because you're usually right about these things. But I just wanted to mention that it was up as a contender. And I just wanted to say like I was so here for it.
Oh,
like,
I'm so glad that it sparked joy for you.
Yeah. Continue. Sorry.
Barbie Ferreira announced on Wednesday that she will not be returning for season 3 of Euphoria to play the iconic Kat Hernandez. She posted on her Instagram story, after 4 years of getting to embody the most special and enigmatic character, Kat, I'm having to say a very teary-eyed goodbye. I hope many of you could see yourself in her like I did and that she brought you joy to see her journey into the character she is today. I put all my care and love into her and I hope you guys could feel it. Love you, Katherine Hernandez. So fans were very upset to hear this news. Though apparently last year it came out that she was reportedly cut from part of the show after rumors swirled that she and the creator of the show, Sam Levinson, got into a heated argument during production and that she walked off set at least twice.
So it's like shocking, but not, because she was such a prominent character in season one. And then season two, like, you would have thought her character died. Like, she was never fucking around. And then it came out that, like, she was beefing with Sam. And I don't know what the beef is, but I'm inclined to take Barbie's side just because Sam, there's been, like, a lot of weird things said about Sam. And the fact that, like, there's a lot of weird sexual things with the show. Like, I don't know. I'm just inclined to take Barbie's side. And I actually think it's really cool and, like, I have a lot of respect for the fact that, like, she's not just, like, staying quiet just to stay on this huge show. Like, she's standing up for her principles and, like, her values. And even if that means losing a role on the biggest show right now, she's doing that. And I think that's admirable because it could never be me. Like, I would say, sure, Sam, sure.
Yeah.
Like, just to stay relevant. And I think it's really, it's admirable.
Yeah, that's true. I'm so curious what I know. The beef is.
I just think, and this is totally unsubstantiated, I think, like, Sam is, like, creepy and, like, weird. Yeah. Like, if you watch the show, like, the obsession with having as much, and they're not underage, but their characters are, so the obsession with having so much underage nudity is fucking weird.
Yeah. I mean, I don't watch the show, inappropriate. But that wouldn't do it for me.
It's inappropriate. Like, it is. And it's not because they're all, like, in their 20s, but still, they're in high school.
But what does it say about the culture that everyone's obsessed with it and it's the biggest show?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Twisted.
And I think the show is really good in some ways of, like, you know, I do think it's hella accurate in some ways of what it's like to be a teenager right now. But I also think it's really not accurate in a lot of ways, too. And it's very, like, fantastical, which is what makes it a good show. And I think this is a loss for the show. Like, Kat season one, like, she was, like, a webcam girly. Like, it was so fucking funny. And she was great. And I think it was huge. You know, I think technically Barbie started as an influencer. So we love to see influencers and digital personalities out here thriving at the Met Gala on a big HBO show. But I do have a lot of respect for this. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
And I think the show will not suffer to a point where it'll, like, you know, end it. But I do think, you know, we'll be missing on some Cat drama.
Well, perhaps this leaves, you know, for a transfer student to come in to Euphoria High School.
Maybe a plus size Jewish girl.
What high school do they go to? Not Euphoria High?
No, they don't go to Euphoria High School. What is the name of the high school? Like, they're never in school. They're always just, like, doing drugs outside at the park. I don't know the name of the high school, but I think it's probably Euphoria High School.
And I don't watch Euphoria. Just want
to. We know.
Oh, there might be some new listeners here. It's been a while since you recapped it. And
no, you're right. You're right.
That's why it's a Claudia Explains It All moment.
For sure. Even though, like, you saying, what's the name of the high school? Euphoria High School. I think pretty much everyone knows that you don't watch.
I don't know.
I don't even know where the show takes place.
Euphoria, Tennessee.
Euphoriaville. Euphoriland.
Is it called Euphoria because they're always on drugs, you know, reaching euphoria?
I think so. Well, it's
or is it because, like, teens, you know, high school is the best time, euphoric time of your life?
Drugs plays a really big role in the show, from, like, most of the characters experimenting with drugs, but mostly following Rue's enormous struggle with addiction and chasing that euphoric high.
And maybe, like, because of the sex?
No.
Are they having euphoric sex?
No. Unless it's with Nate.
Jacob Elordi.
No, the Euphoria title has nothing to do with the sex. I think it has to do with drugs.
Are they eating euphoric food?
No. I've actually never seen anyone eat on the show. They're too busy, like, fucking and doing drugs.
Okay.
Or going to school. Like, they never go to school.
Why do you think it's called Euphoria? Sound off in the comments.
Sound off in the comments. We need a sound off in the comments button. Boom. Sound off in the comments.
We need a lot of buttons. I'll make a list.
Funny. Okay, so that's our show. I'm headed to New Jersey right now. I have a show in Red Bank, New Jersey tonight. So if you're in the area, I can't wait to see you. And if you haven't gotten a ticket, there are a few left in the back.
Are there
some opened up in the front? I don't know.
Tickets?
No, it's actually pretty much, like, just close, like, to sold out. So it's, like, tickets.
There's tickets. Okay, well, you guys, you should go if you're around in New Jersey. We love the New Jersey Toasters.
We
are at one point the biggest podcast in New Jersey. Maybe not anymore since we keep insulting them about creme de la creme.
Yeah.
That means cream. But
also, for my Pacific Northwest girlies, in a few weeks, I am headed to Portland and Seattle for shows, and I would love to see you there. So that's girlwithnojob.com/tour. And anything you want to plug?
The Redheads, the best podcast in the world, number one show on earth.
I'm sitting right here.
You're on it sometimes.
Oh, wait. Yes, wait. Tomorrow, there's no episode. we are taking a summer Friday. We told everyone that. But I might have a little something up my sleeve. So just look out tomorrow. There's no standard episode. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm
Jackie's off.
But that's not why there's no episode. Not because of me.
No, we took a summer Friday.
It's not because of me.
No, it's not because of you. But I might sprinkle a little something into your inboxes with a guest.
Into your RSS feed.
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't count out the Countess. So yes, and then we're back Monday for another fabulous week of remote shows. So thank you to everyone who's been so supportive. We love you so much. And thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere. Podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an incredible, amazing day. And we'll see you together on Monday. Bye.
See you on Monday. Bye. Oh, Bruno's up. I'm in love.